You're listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. PackersTalk.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Alert, alert, clear all channels.
Fresh from America's Dairyland,
ladies and gentlemen.
From the Benches Podcast.
Touchdown, Packers!
Packers Talk Radio Network.
You're listening to From the Benches with Ross Uglum and Ryan Hilsler.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to From the Benches, and welcome to our draft recap show. My name is Ross Uglum. I'm a writer at CheeseheadTV.com, and with me, as always, this time live and in living color, is Ryan Hills. And Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing all right. We had a little bit of a rough weekend on the personal side. My voice is not where I would like it to be for recorded audio, but we'll power through it since we are here in each other's presence for one of the few times we get to do this. So we'll power through it, and we'll go over the Packers draft.
Yeah, Ryan's playing hurt today, guys. So appreciate as always what he's willing to do for you all.
It's a big sacrifice.
We're going to talk a little bit just real quickly about Kenny Clark because we weren't able to do a mid-round recap show like we did last year. We're just going to have to kind of cram two podcasts into one, which is probably fine. But we talked at length about Kenny Clark. So any more thoughts that you had or anything like that?
Well, I mean, I said in our initial reaction show that I'd liked the pick, but I wanted to see the big picture before I had a full opinion. Now that we do have the big picture, I really like it. I like him as the centerpiece, but I also like what the Packers did the rest of the draft to build around him. The areas addressed, the guys that the Packers got throughout the rest of the draft. They didn't do anything to make the Kenny Clark pick look worse. So I'm still all in on the Kenny Clark pick. It's a good pick for me. I like the way they went with the rest of the draft. I'm not upset that that Kenny Clark was the pick in the first round after seeing the rest.
No, I think that that's a great point, and I think you're exactly right when you talk about where he fit into the entire class and then how this class fits into the roster. I'm going to put up my initial way too early 53-man roster prediction on tomorrow afternoon, which will be Monday. You guys might hear this on a Sunday, you might not. But I'm going to have a lot of really difficult decisions to make, and that's because of some of the things that happened further on. And before we get to further on, we have to go back to our tradition of best pick ever, worst pick ever. Because this show is a podcast and because it comes up on the internet and because there is absolutely no nuance to the internet, each pick can only be the best pick of all time or the worst pick that ever existed. So, Kenny Clark, best pick ever, worst pick ever.
This is the best pick ever of all time.
Okay, I agree. I think it's the best pick ever. A lot of Packers fans would have preferred Miles Jack, but you kind of have to evaluate it as far as was it a good pick or not, not who else was on the board. And I think that Clark really fits what this team needs. And then, as we'll talk about later on, that position was addressed, maybe not with the same like level of dynamic player, but it was certainly addressed with I think, a starting caliber football player. And the way that this defense is, the way that this defense is designed, whether you like it or not, that is the least important position on it. And I don't really think it's even debatable, to be honest. I think that a lot of the guys that talk about, well, look at the Super Bowl team. They have really good inside linebackers. Why don't we? The Broncos picked Danny Trevathan in the 6th round and Brandon Marshall in the 5th round.
Yeah.
They are good players, but they were not investments.
Yeah.
So,
and that changes every time a different team wins the Super Bowl. Every, you know, the quote unquote formula for winning the Super Bowl changes.
Oh, for sure.
The Seahawks win the Super Bowl. Oh, you gotta have good defensive backs,
and they gotta be huge.
Yeah, you gotta have big safeties.
Right.
Now it's linebackers. It changes every year. Exactly. There's not one way to win the Super
Bowl. And I mean that Seahawks mini dynasty, whatever, the team that went to 3 consecutive NFC Championship games, went to a pair of Super Bowls. Yeah, Bobby Wagner's a real good player. 6th round pick.
Yeah.
Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis, 1st round pick, 2nd round pick. It's like, yeah, well, there's more than one way to
do it. Right.
More than one way to do it. So, anyway, 2nd round, the Packers trade up. They give up their 7th round pick, which I don't know about you, but I just don't care. For me, Ted's probably going to sign that guy in undrafted free agency anyway. I don't put any value on 7th round picks just as a Packers fan. I mean, not, you don't put a lot of value on 7th round picks anyway, but as a Packers fan with Ted Thompson's history in the undrafted free agents, I don't care.
Yeah.
So they gave up a 7th round pick, but they gave up their 4th round pick, the tradable one. So it ended up being that the Packers only got to pick twice when they were locked in on those 4th round compensatory picks. They moved up to get a guy, Jason Spriggs, super athletic, 6'6", offensive tackle from the Big Ten, played at Indiana, played against some top-notch pass rushers, Joey Bosa, obviously, Ohio State, Shalik Calhoun, Michigan State, guys that can get after it, seem to hold up pretty well. Ryan, do you think the trade-up was worth it?
I think so. Like you said, that 7th round pick really isn't anything. At that point in the 7th round, you're really just kind of throwing darts anyway. The 4th round pick, you like to have. Ted Thompson's had some success in the 4th round. I really like this pick. So I think it is worth it. Like you said, a really athletic, really big guy. This is exactly the kind of tackle I was hoping that the Packers would target in this draft. I talked in the pre-draft shows about Jack Conklin, Taylor Decker, those guys as possible first-round targets. I really like this this guy in the 2nd round. Real athletic dude, is not necessarily going to come in and start day one at left tackle, which is why he's not, you know, that prototypical top of the 1st round. Offensive tackle, but I think he has that kind of potential to come in and push David Bakhtiari as a left tackle. And if Bakhtiari ends up being better, holds on to that left tackle job this season, Spriggs is going to be a more than capable backup tackle to both spots. He's obviously a big upgrade, I think, over Don Barclay on day one. And I think he does have that ability if Bakhtiari's contract situation gets a little too rich for Ted Thompson's blood, then Spriggs is a guy who could potentially come in and be the left tackle if David Bakhtiari is allowed to walk in that free agent class next season. So I like this a lot. I think it's a really solid pick. It's exactly the kind of tackle I was hoping the Packers would go after. I like this pick a lot.
Yeah, and I understand where you're coming from, and also, I mean, it gives versatility. If Bakhtiari goes and, like, say they decide Spriggs can't play right tackle, they'll just move Bulaga to left tackle, mm-hmm. and they'll go with Spriggs at right because he is so big. I think it's going to be a situation where he's going to find a place to play on this line in 2017. Yeah. I would be absolutely shocked if he didn't, but I don't think he can play guard, which is interesting. I mean, I think that he's not a Sitton or Lang replacement. He's not. So you almost assume that Bakhtiari is not coming back at this
point.
Right,
yeah.
But, I mean, and that's fine. I think Spriggs' ceiling as a football player is much higher. I don't know if he can be quite the pass blocker that Bakhtiari has, because we have 3 years of film of very good pass blocking, but I think he can be an asset in the run game where Bakhtiari is definitely a liability.
Yeah, he probably comes in as a better run blocker day one than David Bakhtiari.
For sure, for sure. My only issue with the trade-up is this. One of my favorite players in this whole class was Cody Whitehair from Kansas State, and he went to pick before Green Bay would have picked. That was by Chicago. And so people are like, well, it wouldn't have mattered. Well, actually, the common sense thing, or what everyone's saying, is that Ted was looking to trade up past Chicago because he knew Chicago liked Spriggs. So, hindsight being 2020, in my opinion, I would have rather drafted Cody Whitehair
and had a
fourth round pick.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I really like this kid. So where does he fit as far as the 2016 Packers are concerned? Is he just depth? I mean, we do this every year too. Every time they take a tackle, how they go, are they going to do some six offensive line stuff? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. I think for just this season, he has a chance to come in and see if he can beat David Bakhtiari. David Bakhtiari has been the starting left tackle, but he hasn't necessarily lit the world on fire. He's been serviceable. I think Spriggs is going to have a chance to come in and compete for the starting left tackle job. I think it is more likely that Bakhtiari hangs onto it for this year, and Spriggs is the backup at both tackle spots. That's what I've got him at for 2016. Do you see anything different?
No, I really don't. I mean, I think that he's your backup. We'll talk about my favorite pick of this whole draft, and that he might be the backup right tackle, and that Spriggs might be the backup left tackle. Right now, I think that Spriggs is just the third tackle. That's my opinion on the matter. Those are kind of my thoughts. As far as the future, I think we both think that he is a future starter on the offensive line, or you don't trade up and you don't use a second-round pick on him. But definitely a guy that needed some seasoning. And so when you take a guy that you don't need until 2017, those athletic project type of guys are the kind of the road that you want to go down. And I think for sure Thompson's draft profile on offensive lineman has improved greatly. I mean, when he came in and took Jason Spitz and he took Darren College and he took Tony Maul and just guys that can't play.
It was a bad start.
Right. But now, I think we both love sitting in Lang. Bakhtiari for a fourth-round pick is a joke. I mean, that is an unbelievable value. And then Lindsley in the fifth. I mean, he's been outstanding. And I think that where he fits in the future is probably as your left tackle. That would be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
So best pick ever or worst pick ever?
Best pick ever.
I agree. I think it was the best pick of all time. There's no question about it. The third round pick. This is an interesting one. Kyler Fackrell from Utah State. A lot of the guys that end up getting drafted out of the state of Utah are very old because of what some of the things that they have to fulfill during college as a Mormon. I mean, that's not inappropriate to say. It's
what they do.
Just a fact. So Fackrell's actually 25 years old, has a wife, has at least one kid, and is just in a different place in his life than a lot of people that come in through the draft. But interesting player. I mean, 6'5", 245 pounds, is going to play outside linebacker, actually played outside linebacker in a similar system at Utah State, dropped into a lot of coverage. Yeah. And I think that's where people are going to freak out a little bit about using a third-round pick on a guy with 12 career sacks. But you have to watch the film. He's dropping into coverage all the time. And when he is on the edge, he's a very, very good run defender and a guy that I think if, he was rushing on 85% of passing downs instead of rushing on 55% of passing downs.
Yeah.
You're going to look at some production that's, pretty serious. Ryan, what was your opinion on the Fackrell pick and kind of him as a player as far as after you got to see a little bit of tape?
Yeah, I think this is a solid pick. It fits a potential need down the road. Outside linebacker is a spot where you think you're going to lose Julius Peppers eventually. We've got Nick Perry back on a one-year deal. Looks like Mike Neal isn't coming back. There's going to be some holes on the edge of this defense. So this is a guy who could come in, take a year or two to develop as an outside player and then be a serviceable guy. Maybe not that the every down starter at outside linebacker, but he can certainly be in the rotation. You always have a rotation with these guys in the on the outside, and I certainly think he can fit in there. Like you said, drops into coverage a lot, and got positive grades from Pro Football Focus's college scouting system in coverage. So he's a capable coverage guy on the outside. So it gives you a little bit of versatility with him. He's a guy who can drop into coverage, but like you said, I think he's a guy who can develop into a productive pass rusher if given the opportunity. And he's going to have time to develop. He's not going to become asked to come in and start right away. So I think we have the time to develop him, and I think he has some ability to eventually develop into a useful pass rusher.
Like the explosion that you'd see in a lot of athletes, but there is a fluidity to his game that I really appreciate. So as far as where he fits right now in the defense, do you think he's a special teams guy, or do you think that he's going to see time in the rotation? I mean, there's a lot. He's still got Nick Perry. Dayton Jones is kicking out there. Julius Peppers hasn't retired yet. Clay Matthews is going to be out there. For the love of God, somebody let Jayron Elliott play football.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think on Fackrell?
I mean, he's more than likely just a special teams guy now. Maybe he comes in and surprises and beats somebody out for some snaps, but I think for the 2016 season, he's going to be a special teams guy. I don't see, he would have to pretty much come in and light the world on fire to jump over all of those guys for some legitimate rotation spots. Now, there's always going to be injuries. Maybe two of those guys happen to miss four games that overlap, and he gets some snaps for a couple games. But I don't see him coming in and being a big part of the rotation right out of the gate.
So what we're looking at then, obviously, is 2017 and beyond. Dayton Jones, I think, has a player option that the Packers probably won't pick up.
Yeah, you probably have the same situation as he had with Nick Perry.
With Nick Perry. Yeah. So then Julius Peppers, his contract is up. More than likely looking at retirement.
Yep.
Definitely not going to be a Packer again. I said that last year, too. But, yeah. I mean, he'd be 30. He'd be 38.
Yeah.
So
it'd have to be a lot cheaper.
Clay Matthews under contract for a very long time for a very lot of money. But Nick Perry not under contract.
No.
Jayron Elliott not even under contract. So I think what you see is a situation where somebody comes back. Just has to.
Yeah.
And then that player, Matthews, Fackrell, and maybe a 2017 draft pick those are your outside linebackers.
Yeah.
Best pick ever? Worst pick ever?
Best pick ever. I like the kid's potential. I think he can develop into something when we do inevitably lose one or two of those guys out of the outside linebacker rotation. I think he can be a useful guy. So best pick ever.
I think best pick ever as well. I think it's the age thing freaks me out a little bit. Like, because after his rookie deal, he's gonna be 29. Does he even get a second contract in Green Bay?
Yeah.
But whatever. I mean,
we'll see.
It is what it is. He's also going to be 29 with four seasons of NFL miles on him and not eight. So that there is something to be said about that. Day three opens up. We have to wait for a long time because Green Bay traded away the regular fourth round pick. We have to get to the compensatory pick. Obviously not tradable. We know we're getting an A player. Thompson goes back to the Pac-12 for the second time in this draft. And takes an inside linebacker. And at that point, a couple of guys that I really liked had gone. B.J. Goodson had just gone. Joshua Perry had just gone. The kid from Ohio State that Brian Caribou loved so much. But they took my top inside linebacker on the board at that point, Blake Martinez from Stanford. This is a guy who had his athleticism questioned, but actually tested out really well. And graded as College Football Focus's number one coverage linebacker. Not a guy who ran a 4.4, 4.5, 4.6 like a Darren Lee, but a guy who is smart. And that's so cliche to say, well, he went to Stanford, of course he's smart, idiot. It's not the point. The point is he plays smart. He has football smarts, and he has the fluidity in his hips and the intelligence to understand what he's doing in coverage. He's not getting beat. So I think what you have with Blake Martinez is a true three-down linebacker. Yeah. And a guy I think was maybe a little bit undervalued. And I even undervalued him, I think, because I didn't look into the coverage numbers. I just kind of took the face value evaluations of his time speed and what everyone was saying about him being a thumper. He's really not just a thumper. And I think between him and Ryan and Barrington, they're going to be able to figure it out. So 2015 or two, no, 2016, excuse me, 2016, where does he fit in the defense?
Well, I think, like you said, he can be a three down guy. He and is going to be able to get on the field right away just because he's going to pick up the system so quickly. He's a smart guy. He's used to having the responsibilities of being that quarterback of the defense, being the linebacker, making the calls, doing all that stuff. I think he's certainly capable of coming in and being either a starter or one of the main guys in the inside linebacker rotation. No, Dom Capers does a lot of different stuff with rotating and responsibilities and with different guys playing at linebacker spots and whatnot. But I think he's in that rotation right out of the gate. I think he can play next to Ryan if Barrington comes back and is the player that we saw before his injury. I think that's a decent inside linebacker rotation right out of the gate. It's certainly an upgrade over the AJ Hawk Brad Jones tandem from a couple years ago. I think Ted Thompson has done a decent job now with improving the inside linebacker spot without really having to invest a whole lot of high picks. Everybody, the last two seasons, Packer fans have been clamoring for various guys in the first or second round. Obviously, had Miles Jack and Reggie Ragland, Darren Lee, guys we were targeting this year, a bunch of different guys last year. Ted Thompson clearly doesn't value those guys like a lot of the fans do, like a lot of the rest of the NFL does. He's now, for 2 years in a row, waited until the third day of the draft, till the fourth round, to grab an inside linebacker. And I think, like you said earlier, this inside linebacker spot in this defense is the least important position, and he's investing fourth round picks that have some potential, but he's not investing high picks in what's not, when it comes down to it, not a very important position. So I like what he's doing here. I like Martinez in the fourth round. I think he can come in, be in that rotation, and the inside linebacker spot can be serviceable for Green Bay right out of the gate with Martinez in the rotation.
So in the future, I mean, do you feel like he's the starter? You think that Martinez and Ryan are what we're going to be doing going forward? Because I'm not 100% sure, but I think that Barrington is a part of that group with Dayton and Lacey and whatever, where he's on a four-year deal, and that's got to be expiring. Well, I mean, they're all expiring.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably where he's at, and we'll see what kind of player he comes back to be after the injury, whether he's worth bringing back, how much money it's going to cost to bring him back. Maybe we go into 2017 and spend another third or fourth rounder on an inside linebacker, and those are your three guys for the next handful of years. We'll see what happens, but I think it's obvious that Blake Martinez is going to be in that inside linebacker rotation, either as the starter or as the first guy off the bench for the duration of his 4 year rookie contract, and then we'll see what happens after that. But I think he's a starter or very close to it right out of the gate, and I think that's where he's going to be going forward, barring Ted Thompson taking an inside linebacker in the first round next year. We'll see what happens. But I think he's there for the foreseeable future.
Best pick ever or worst pick ever?
Best pick ever. I like it. It's sticking right in Thompson's wheelhouse. We now kind of have a pedigree of what he does with inside linebackers. it's the best pick ever.
Boy, do we look like a couple of Ted Thompson Bobos. This
sure do.
Fine. Morning. Yeah, I think it's best pick ever. It was a position of need. Not only does Thompson devalue the off-the-ball linebacker, but so does the whole league. I mean, you look at, if you went back even 10 years and looked at where off-the-ball linebackers were getting drafted as opposed to where they are now, like if you say Blake Martinez was the sixth best off-the-ball linebacker, there is no way in hell he's lasting till the compensatory picks of the fourth round
right.
in 2006. It's just not happening.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then you also see nobody really going at the top of the top of the draft. Darren Lee being that first guy taken. Maybe right. that changes if Jalen Smith or
Miles Jack
don't have injury concerns. Yeah. Maybe those guys are both top 10 picks. Who knows? But there's not.
Yeah. Keekly was a top 10 pick, but like it, you're right though. It doesn't happen.
Very
it doesn't happen.
It's got to
like
be
that.
Those special guys that
for sure
come in and force people to take them high.
For sure, for sure. So the next pick came about 11 minutes later.
Yep.
Dean Lowry from Northwestern. This is our friend Cody Bauer's guy. He was geeked.
A lot of offense after this pick.
This pick. You are familiar with Mr. Lowry because he ran your Cornhuskers out of their own gym almost by himself.
Yeah, that's... I remember watching that game, and I thought I remember tweeting about who the hell is this Dean Lowry kid who's making every single tackle in the backfield and going to win this game single-handedly for Northwestern. I couldn't find that tweet. Maybe cooler heads prevailed, and I didn't swear on Twitter about a college football game. But yeah, he's got some production. Obviously not a top end of the draft kind of guy, but he's certainly a capable player. On the defensive line, he'll come in and be probably in the defensive line rotation pretty early for the Packers. It's a thin group when you consider you're moving Dayton Jones out, B.J. Raji's gone. You needed some defensive line depth in this draft and a little bit of an infusion of talent. They did that in the first round, obviously, with Clark. And then you add a guy further down the line with Lowry. I think he's a capable player. He's the kind of player you get in the fourth round. Guys with particular skills, they're not going to be good all the way across the board, but they obviously have some tools. They're guys who are you see something, and obviously it's worth taking a pick on. What did you think of Lowry?
Well, Lowry, I mean, because we haven't explained it really. Lowry's a 6'6" defensive end. He'll play 5-tech and 3-tech in our defense. He won't probably contribute a whole lot on the edge. Very athletic. Very, very good combine numbers for a human being of his size.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, he's white, so you're all going to love him. I mean, that's
just a lunch pail guy.
He brings his lunch pail to work every single day. He's got grit. He's got toughness. He's got what they would call a high motor.
Yeah. PFT commenter is going to love this dude.
We joke a little bit, but seriously, Lowry's going to be a fan favorite early. It's the upper Midwest. That's just the way that life is. I think, honestly, though, what concerns people a little bit are his 31-inch arms. When I watched him play, I didn't really notice it. That's what Brian Bulaga always said about the length of his arms. I don't know. I've never really reached for something and not been quite able to grab it. And I didn't notice Lowry struggling because of a lack of length. And length is the word that Mike McCarthy used to describe Lowry because he is that traditional 5-tech. And McCarthy used the term body type. He really is a different body type than the Packers have had in the past. Mm-hmm. And I think in the base, you can play him at that strong side 5-tech. And then if you're going to, one tech the nose guard and play Daniels on the weak side, that's fine. You can do all sorts of different things when you have a guy like Dean Lowry with some length on that defensive line. And, I've been, begging for this for years. I always have a 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", 30 front lineman that I want because they should have two because that's how you start in that defense. But they have one now, and I think that because of that, I'm going to give Dean Lowry my best pick ever. I'm a little bit worried about the arm length just from a strict measurables side, but it doesn't show up on film.
Yeah, I think it's the best pick ever also. I think he can he has the potential to come in and push for some rotation spots early with this the thinness of the defensive line depth chart. I think he can push to get in there. And with a little bit of coaching, maybe he develops some more pass rush ability. Like you said, he's a very athletic dude, but he's not when you watch him play, he's got kind of a limited repertoire of moves. Maybe with some coaching, he adds some of that stuff. He uses some of that athleticism to turn into down the road a guy who can be more of a dynamic defensive lineman. But for now, he's going to be a guy who can play against the run from that 5-tech spot. He can hold his own on the line and hold the point of attack and allow these linebackers to clean up some stuff behind him. So, I in the fourth round, that's exactly what you're looking for. Somebody who can contribute in one way and have the potential to improve and maybe down the road turn into a more complete starter type of player. So I think it's the best pick ever. I think he's, as a fourth round pick, you're certainly happy with a guy like this.
So in the fifth round, we saw the first player off the board that kind of made you go,
Yep.
Because we both talked about our strategy on wide receiver this year. Either take a guy at 27 or don't take one.
Mm-hmm.
And as per usual, Ted did not care what
right.
we had to say.
He didn't call for our
right.
thoughts. In the
and so he took Trevor Davis out of Cal. Not a guy with impressive statistics, but as Sam Seal, the West Coast scout, explained to us at his press conference, they had six guys that they ran in and out at receiver, and they kind of threw it all over. If you look at Goff's numbers, they're one thing, but then if you look at his receiver's numbers, there's not a guy. I mean, he didn't have a guy that so
yeah.
It's not a situation where he wasn't productive. In fact, he caught almost 76% of his
targets
which is. You know,
yeah.
When you think about what's a really good completion percentage for a quarterback, isn't the benchmark's like 65%? That's where you want to be.
Yeah.
So if you're catching 76% of your targets, you're plus 11%. You're an unbelievably efficient wide receiver,
mm-hmm.
especially when his favorite route is
the nine.
Straight down the field, 4.4 flat speed. I think somebody had him at 4.37 at his pro day. Anything under 4.45 is
real fast.
Real fast. That's Janus fast. And
yep.
So that was the obvious comparison. But Davis is a big guy too. I mean, mm-hmm. he's over 6'1", he's around 200 pounds, which makes you think, what's wrong?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the worry is what was wrong. And mm-hmm. and I think Sam hit it on the head. First of all, it was the way that Cal spread the ball. And second of all, the route running probably isn't great because he has unbelievable measurables. He's as far as Nike has a spark percentile thing for athletes.
Yep.
He's in the 85th percentile.
Yeah. Kind of a composite of all the different measurables.
Right, right. He's a better athlete than 85% of the wide receivers in the league. That sometimes doesn't matter because Jeff Janis is really high up on that thing, too. But that has been one of the criticisms of Ted Thompson over the years is he keeps drafting football players and he doesn't have any athletes. And
mm-hmm.
that is real dumb. But the point is he got some athletes in this class, man. I mean, mm-hmm. for real. So where do you think Trevor Davis fits in 2016?
I don't really see where he's going to find a spot. Maybe he grabs Jeff Janis' kickoff return spot. He is not a guy who's going to come in and push for wide receiver reps right out of the gate. Basically, because like you said, he doesn't really have
a
developed route tree at this point. He's got he can run that one route, but maybe you throw him in there to take some deep shots. Who really knows? But they kind of took that guy with Janis 2 years ago. He's that kind of freak measurable guy who doesn't have a route tree yet. Kind of feels like we're just getting Jeff Janis again, obviously with a better pedigree coming out of the Pac-12 as opposed to Saginaw Valley State. But I just don't really see a spot for him. Maybe he jumps Janis, and God forbid Janis doesn't make the roster because Trevor Davis passes him. I think Wisconsin would riot, but I kind of see that as his upside, certainly for 2016, kind of maybe coming in and grabbing Janis's job, but I don't see a whole lot of other upside for 2016.
This is going to sound like some insanity what's about to come out of my mouth right now, but I think Jeff Janis is the third safest wide receiver on the team. I guarantee you Jordy Nelson will be on the team. I guarantee you Randall Cobb will be on the team. I think Janis is the third safest one because his work as a gunner last year was revolutionary. He is the best special teams player on the Packers.
That is a good point.
He is going to be on the team. I mean, outside of like the stopping of the riots, that would be point A. But point B is that dude's not going anywhere because he is too big and too fast for punt return teams to block. And that used to be a problem, and now it is not because that guy's awesome at that. So I think that he is going to be on the team, whether you like it or not. I think that the guy that this actually stresses is Abby.
Yeah,
that's the player that I would be worried about. Unless, and this is just a crazy theory, but they could keep Lacey, Rip, and Starks, keep seven receivers, and have the third back be a mix of Ty Montgomery and Randall Cobb. They could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have to pour one out for my boy John Crockett. That would not make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
But you absolutely could do that and get away with it. I'm not convinced that they will, but it's a possibility. It's an option. So I think right now he fits as a return man. He's a very, very good return man. And in the future, I think he fits as a – I mean, this is a team that has had to go to more of a rotation thing at wide receiver. They loved having Adams left, Jordy right, Randall slot, Richard tight end.
And just never subbing.
And never subbing and never huddling and just bang, 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 bang.
Yeah.
But now with the diversity of weapons on this offense, I really think that you have to be a little bit more open to huddling and bringing in players.
And switching it up. And
right,
and
absolutely.
Throwing different looks and formations.
And you know what? If Trevor Davis comes in and they assume it's a nine route, good. Someone has to run with him.
Mm-hmm.
So you're playing on a wider field already. You have more space to operate.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's where I think he fits in the future, obviously, is as that deep threat. But, of course, his potential is number one wide receiver on the team. I mean, that's
got those kind of numbers.
You look at it, and if you can teach him how to play the position athletically, he has number one size, number one speed. I mean, am I saying that Trevor Davis is eventually going to be the best receiver on the Packers? No. I mean, I think that odds would tell you that that's probably not going to happen, but the potential is there. So, Ryan, worst pick ever or best pick ever?
First time in the draft, this is worst pick ever for me.
It really was.
I just don't. I didn't see it as a necessity. It's a fifth round pick. It's not a big investment, but I just don't see with the current makeup of the wide receiver depth chart why taking a receiver was even really an option later in the draft. Like you said, if they take somebody at 27, who is going to come in and immediately jump over to Davante Adams and be the number two receiver on the outside behind Jordy Nelson? Fine, I could have been all right with that, but it doesn't seem like you needed to invest a draft pick in a wide receiver this year because we already had six guys who have shown an ability to play who were kind of set. I would have been completely fine with those six guys as your wide receivers going into the offseason. We'll see where Trevor Davis fits, but I didn't see it as a necessity, and it's a guy who's not going to come in right away. He's a developmental guy. And I just didn't see it as a necessity. So I think this is the worst pick Ted Thompson has ever made.
Fair enough. I think worst pick ever for me, too. I don't understand the need. I mean, I understand the selection. I really do. If you're going to take a guy in the fifth round and your explanations to why he wasn't drafted higher make sense, and these do, it's probably okay. But this was the one pick that I was like, eh. And a lot of that, I think, has to do with I really like Ben Broniker of Harvard at tight end. I really like Jarrell Adams
There were still some guys
you would
like to see.
A developmental tight end in the fifth round, I think, would have been useful, and they just didn't do it, and that's fine. But that's why this is worst pick ever. And then Ted just put the cherry on top for me. I mean, Kyle Murphy, and you can tell we're football nerds because people are like, what do you mean a six-round offensive tackle? I'm like, no, I mean a six-round offensive tackle. Kyle Murphy from Stanford played left tackle, one of the best offenses in the Pac-12 from offensive lineman perspective. I mean, you had to just love playing in that. But he's a guy that I had a third-round grade on. I mocked him to the Packers in the fourth round numerous times. You know, I posted one mock draft, but I will tweet out some fan speak mocks, and Kyle Murphy was always ending up on the team in the fourth or the fifth round. The Packers get him in the sixth. What's your opinion on the player? Have you had a chance to watch any Stanford cutups, and where do you think he fits on the team, at least right now?
I mean, he can come in and be the guy that tells Don Barclay to leave town. He's a real nice infusion of talent for some offensive line depth, and you need that when you have the potential of losing three guys on the offensive line after next season. He's, like you said, I think a big value in the sixth round as your last pick. Having a guy who has that kind of who we think has that kind of ability, I think that's a really nice value in the sixth. He can be possibly the backup right tackle. I don't know if he's got NFL left tackle upside, but he can be depth behind the tackles, and that we saw last season was a really big problem when you were throwing J.C. Treader out there at left tackle, when you were trying to hide Don Barclay at right tackle.
Easy backup on the tackles. That didn't go that badly.
He's a center. He's a guard. He doesn't need to be playing tackle, and now he doesn't have to. We've got two guys who can play tackle who just came in. With Spriggs and Murphy now, they are your backup tackles, and you have J.C. Treader in his able to be the backup where he's a much better player. He can back up at center. He can back up at guard. Now we've got guys who can back up at tackle. I really like this as a pick in the sixth round. This is a big value. I think it improves the offensive line depth a lot. I don't know if he's certainly not a starting caliber player in 2016. He's going to come in and be depth. But who knows what happens when these guys maybe leave after 2016. It's kind of up in the air, but you've got a talented guy as a sixth round pick who can at worst be a long-term offensive line depth guy.
I'm not convinced that he couldn't start this year. Really. I mean, I have him as kind of those three. So like you have to be very specific. I had to play center. You have to be a very specific guy to play left tackle. You can kind of figure it out, left guard, right tackle, right guard. I think he could, if you had to, I think Kyle Murphy could start left guard, right tackle, and you would be fine. I mean, I don't think he would dominate, but I think you would be fine. I have that.
If Lang tears up his ACL.
Sure.
You're.
Yeah. I would rather play Kyle Murphy. If something happened to TJ Lang, I'd rather take my lumps with Kyle Murphy at right guard then try and get through this season with, what the hell is that guy's name? Lane Taylor. No, thank you.
Yeah, I think Murphy jumps Lane Taylor in off the offensive line picking order right out of the gate.
So anyway, I mean this is an easy one for me, best pick ever, and we're going to talk about our favorite picks of this draft a little later on in the show. But this is the best pick ever for me, and I might even be serious when I say that.
This is best pick ever for me too. I like this. Obviously, I'm an offensive line guy. This improves that offensive line depth a lot, and this is the best pick ever for me. I love this as a sixth round pick.
After the draft, we know as Ted Thompson fans, that's when things really get serious. The undrafted free agents get signed, and the Packers had a lot that they had to sign because there weren't that many guys on the roster going into the draft. They selected two fewer players than we thought that they were going to select. Mm-hmm. And so that became even more of a need, of course. Talk a little bit about your favorite undrafted free agent signing, and maybe you can even drop a couple of names. That's fine with me because there is a lot to talk about here. We're obviously not going to break them all down just because I can't imagine other people really want to hear us do that.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, go ahead, talk a little undrafted free agent, and then I'll kind of give my thoughts.
Well, I mean, obviously not a lot of big names going here, but guys who I think have potential to play. And we've always seen every year with Ted Thompson's undrafted guys, there's always an undrafted guy who makes the roster. So you kind of assume with the history, one of these guys is making the roster. Two possibilities. I look at Brian Price, defensive tackle from Texas San Antonio, a big dude, 6'3", 225. I think especially with Pennell's suspension, he's got a chance to come in and be on the roster in the, for those first 4 weeks of the season when Pennell's not going to be there. So that's obviously we took two guys in the draft for defensive line depth, but I think when there's going to be that hole on the roster in the middle of the defensive line, I think that's a guy who could possibly come in and fit that that defensive line depth, maybe get a couple snaps while Pennell's out. So there's a guy. And then you also look at Benikez Brown, inside linebacker, big inside linebacker out of Mississippi State in the SEC. Not the uber talented SEC guys that got taken at the top end of the draft, but he was a productive guy out of one of the lesser SEC schools. Not the top echelon teams that are always competing for the national title, but he was a productive guy on that defense and inside linebacker as a whole. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him come in and grab a spot just because inside linebacker is such a weak position for the Packers. So those are my
two. Yeah, guys. The Nikos Brown thing is real. I mean, he was a guy that I thought was a draftable player. There's a couple mm-hmm. guys I thought were a draftable player. The one that I think has to jump out though is Peter Mortel. He's a Green Bay kid. Went to the University of Minnesota. He's a punter and a good one. And he punted a lot because Minnesota football is not very good, especially on offense. And he's a guy, I think, that, man, I don't know if Tim Mastey makes the minimum, but he better. Because if there are any sort of cap savings in switching from Mastey to Mortel, I am 100%
on board.
In. 100%
yeah.
in. You never, you know, it's I always take kind of the step back, too, and remember that, like, you're talking about someone's family having to move and stuff like that. You don't ever wish for people to lose their job, but he's just not effective. And that's you can only carry one. So you have to make a decision at punter, and I think Mortel makes it a difficult decision.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting camp battle to watch. I know that they had a kid out there last year to compete with him. Mastey won the job or was given the job, whatever you want to look at it, that's fine. But Mortel's one for me. And then Geronimo Allison.
Love that name.
From Illinois. We talk, it's funny because we talk about, well, we don't, this kid better make the practice squad. I mean, we talk about the fact that they didn't need to take a receiver. This kid, though, 6'4", and fast and big. And, you know, then, of course, well, why didn't he get drafted? We'll find out. But from a body type perspective, I always talk about receivers as a basketball team. You've got your wing guys like Devontae Adams. You got your point guard, Randall Cobb. They've been missing the power forward forever. Geronimo Allison could be a power forward. I really think mm-hmm. that. And so I think that he's got a chance, certainly for the practice squad. And then, you know, corners have a chance, too. The Greenwood kid from Alcorn State, you have to look at even the kid from Northern Iowa, though, you know, to hell with Northern Iowa. But even at that point, I mean, you do have a situation where you lost Casey Hayward, and he mm-hmm. wasn't replaced in the draft. And so the only corners the true corners you really feel okay with are Randall, Rollins, Shields. End of conversation. You and I really like Ladarius Gunter.
Mm-hmm.
But after, I mean, it's not like there's some
ocean
of depth at corner. And I mean, you and I both understand that, okay, well, you just move that guy outside, and then Micah Hyde comes and plays corner, and it's fine.
You shuffle stuff around.
And I do get that. So I just.
There are quarterback spots on the roster that are not locked out. These guys could come in and surprise you and grab one of those spots.
So that was our brief undrafted free agent discussion. I hope that you're all still with us and awake. Ryan, did you pick up any themes from this draft? I mean, every draft has kind of a flavor to it. What was the theme of this draft for you?
Kind of just being solid picks all the way around. No big splashes, really. We talked about in our first round reaction to the Kenny Clark pick. There were splashes available. Ted Thompson took a guy he liked that's going to be a good player, but he didn't. There weren't Kenny Clark headlines in the national draft coverage. It's just a safe pick. I think that was kind of the way all the way down the board. Guys who get really into the draft, like yourself, would think the Kyle Murphy 6th round pick is a splash, but it wasn't a flashy draft. But needs got addressed. These are all solid players. I think up and down the board, this was a really, really solid draft. All these guys can contribute, and they have potential to be good players for the Packers. It was just solid, not flashy, all the way through.
I think I'm going to use a different word, but for sure. I mean, we talked about last year where it was such a luxury draft. It was such a sizzle draft. He took 2 corners. He took an inside linebacker. He took a kick returner. He took guys that operate on the perimeter and the edges of the defense and the offense, guys that aren't the core. This was all about the core. Steak. Steak is the word for this draft. Mm-hmm. Spriggs is steak. Murphy is steak. Lowry is steak. Clark is steak. These guys are the beef. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what this was all about. Even Fackrell, to be honest with you, at 6'5", 250, is the steak. And that's the other thing. He got athletes, and we got way bigger this year. I mean, this is
Martin. All big height weight guys. All
height weight speed. I mean, no wonder Cody Bauer's just beside himself after this draft, because these are huge human beings that got drafted by the Packers. And I think that's probably important. I mean, they got away with playing 4-3 defensive tackles in a 3-4 for a very long time. They've gotten away with undersized pass rushers. they've gotten away with undersized pass rushers for a very long time. So I think what you've got here is a height, weight, speed draft and a beef draft. And that's maybe something that the Packers need. And I know you and I feel pretty good about this one for sure.
Yep.
Ryan, what's your favorite pick of the draft?
My favorite pick was Jason Spriggs, 2nd round. Like I said, exactly the kind of guy I was looking for a tackle. I talked pre-draft about taking one of those guys possibly in the 1st round. This was a great pick in the 2nd round. You get a guy like that with that same kind of potential who doesn't have to start right away, maybe has the potential to do it, but doesn't have to start on day one. You get a guy like that in the 2nd round on top of a really talented defensive lineman in Kenny Clark. I love the value. I love the guy's athleticism. I love his size. I think he can – I really like what he can do, provide either as depth or as your potential left tackle going forward once maybe Bakhtiari's let to walk elsewhere. So I really like Spriggs, really shoring up the offensive line and making those question marks going into next season, kind of answering those before they're big problems. It's addressing a need before it's a need. You didn't want to go into next season where you had to take an offensive tackle in round one because David Bakhtiari signed a contract with somebody else. I like that this guy's already on the roster. We're going to know what we have. We're going to know whether or not it's a luxury to let David Bakhtiari go, save that money, and sign Josh Sitton, sign Eddie Lacy, sign maybe Nick Perry again. We're going to get a really good feel on the offensive line this season before it's a big potential problem next season. And I love that in the 2nd round.
My favorite pick from this draft is Murphy. There's no question about it. I think that anytime you can get a 3rd round guy in a 6th round, you have to be pretty excited about that. In fact, anytime you get a guy that probably is going to end up starting for your football team at some point in the 6th round, you have to feel pretty darn good about that. I mean, I think he's my favorite pick probably since the Ha Ha Clinton Dix pick, which was my favorite pick since the Jonathan Franklin pick. So I don't really even know what to do with that, but I'm very excited about the Murphy pick. I think it was his best pick of the drafts. Honestly, I think it was one of the best picks of the entire draft, just from a value standpoint, where I had the player evaluated and where he went. There was a really big difference there, and maybe that means that I was wrong, but if I wasn't, then it was a pretty fantastic value.
Yeah.
Guys, we want to thank you as always, especially I think this might have been a long show, so we want to thank you for sticking with us. We want to thank you for downloading, and of course, thank you for listening. The best way you can help us out is to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a review. We prefer those with 5 stars. Leave us a comment. Let us know what we could be doing better. Let us know what you appreciate. It just helps us come up a little higher. People search for Aaron Rodgers. People search for the Green Bay Packers on iTunes. You're going to see the Packers Talk Network come up sooner. Speaking of the Packers Talk Network, you can follow the network on Twitter at Packers Talk Net. You can follow myself. I'm at Ross Uglum. Ryan?
I am at Hillisland358.
And you can even follow the show at From the Benches. Thank you guys for listening one more time, and go Pack, go.
From the Benches. From the Benches.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Card.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.